Hi, everybody. We'd like to get started very soon. We have yet to achieve quorum.
But I do want to be respectful of people's time, and we have information items. We have we can definitely get started as and then once we reach quorum, we can go through and do that. Right, Eric? Okay. Great. Good morning, everyone. It's so great to see you. Thank you for your commitment to the commission. I know I see some new faces. I'm Martha Tremblay. I'm representative for the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts, but I also am privileged to be chair of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. So with that, I guess we can get started, and let's see what we can do without a quorum. Eric, we can start with... you can guide us on this.
Yeah, I would recommend starting with the informational items and go back to item one, comments from members of the public on items not on the agenda, once we have a quorum and the meeting is called to order. But we could go through report from the chair, from the TAC, and so forth, just holding off on the public comment, item one, and any action items under number three.
Okay, so with that, I think our information item for today is an item of interest for us. We talked about this in terms of the issues post-fire monitoring and the good work that various agencies are doing to try to understand the impacts and then moving forward how we can best prepare if something were to happen in the future, having an established system, database, and monitoring information and tracking. So with that, Luke, do you?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, and before jumping into that informational item, just a few meeting procedures for everybody. So first, I'd just like to say that we're grateful to have the Del Rey Yacht Club host us and have audio and visual support from AGP staff. We also have restrooms out the door to the left, and we also have some refreshments in the back of the room over behind the podium. If you need Wi-Fi, you can log on to DRYC_clubhouse, and then the password for that is Palawan with a capital P and 1108. I have that written out on the table by the door. This meeting is in a hybrid format, which members and the public are participating both remotely and in person. For remote participants, if you need technical support connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, please email it@agpvideo.com. This email is also listed on the meeting agenda. For folks participating in person, if you request public comment, please come up to staff at the side of the table, that's me, and give your request in person. For folks online, you can raise your hand virtually. When we reach the item under which you'd like to speak, the raise hand function is at the bottom of your screen on the Zoom app. If you're calling in over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. For folks around the table, I apologize. I forgot your name tags this morning, so that's why you don't have them. If you could remind folks who you are before you speak, that would be helpful. So please do your best to do that. Also, please do your best to mute your microphone, turn on and mute your microphone when you're done speaking. So that concludes the overview of meeting logistics. I understand we won't do roll call voting until we have a quorum. So I'll hold off on attendance until we have that. Chair, I would also like to mention that we do not have our presenter for our informational item online yet. So I'm not sure we can move to that item. But,
okay. We can do our routine items. And then I did notice since you started speaking, how close are we to quorum?
I believe we need one. Can you give me one moment to check?
Sure.
Chair, we do have 15 now.
Well, let's go ahead then and start our routine meeting. And I guess the first thing will be doing roll call so that we can confirm that we're a quorum. Does that sound okay, Eric? All right, great.
Okay, so I will go around the room. This will be in alphabetical order. State your name, affiliation, and if you're here or not. Sabrina Ashton.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Sabrina Ashton. I am one of the LA Regional Water Quality Control Board members, and so that's how I sit on this commission. It's great to be here and present.
Cody Bridges.
Good morning. Cody Bridges, representing Assemblymember Al Marasucci.
Edward Caldwell.
Good morning. EJ Caldwell, representing Gloria Gray, West Base Municipal Water District.
Thank you. Karen Mogus.
Good morning. Karen Mogus, State Water Board.
Jenny Newman.
Good morning, Jenny Newman, Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board, representing Yana Garcia, Secretary Cal EPA.
Carrie Nichols.
Carrie Nichols, Science and Policy Director for Heal the Bay.
Christina O.
Hi, Tina O with the City of Los Angeles City Tourism Department.
Aaron Ordwer.
Good morning. This is Aaron Ordauer representing Los Angeles County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, 3rd District.
Dave Peterson.
Good morning, Dave Peterson, alternate to Andy Korodesky, representing Las Virgenes Municipal Water District.
Lauren Pizer-Mains.
Lauren Pizer-Mains, representing Senator Ben Allen.
Michael Quill.
Michael Quill with Los Angeles Waterkeeper.
Jasmine Reinhart.
Hi, Jasmine Reinhart, District Manager for the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Good morning, Bertha Ruiz Hoffman with LA County Beaches and Harbors, representing Gary Jones as an alternate.
Great, and if folks need to move the microphone, you could move it. Just make sure it doesn't get unplugged. Lauren Salisbury.
Lauren Salisbury, representing Santa Monica Travel and Tourism.
Rory Skay.
Rory Skay, Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy.
Martha Tremblay.
Present, representing Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts.
Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, Director, Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Great. I will now move to folks online. So when I call your name, please raise your hand and let us know if you're present. Erica Yelensky.
Good morning. Present. I'm with U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Santa Monica Bay NEP Coordinator.
Erica, could you try again? Are you able to unmute yourself?
Yes. You can't hear me? Okay.
It's showing us that you're unmuted. We can come back to you. Laura Dossertz.
Good morning, present. I'm representing the Bay Foundation as the vice president of the board.
Can folks online hear us? Laurel Wardrip.
Yes.
Hello. So, I'm an alternate for Karen.
Thank you, Laurel. Laura, looks like you said something. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, this is Laura Dossertz. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great.
Erica,
I'm present, and I'm, representing the Bay Foundation.
Thank you. Erica Yelensky.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. All right, good morning. Erica Yelensky with US EPA, the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Coordinator. Good to see you all.
Thank you. And if I missed anyone in the room or online, please speak up now.
Good morning. Greg Rochelle representing Black Surfers Collective.
Sorry, Greg. Missed you there. Anyone else? Okay, great. Chair, we have quorum. I recommend moving on to item one.
Thank you, Luke. So first item are comments from members of the public on items that are not on the agenda. And Luke, are public speakers?
Yes, we do have a number of public speakers. We have some folks in person and then some online attendees as well. I've just noticed, sorry, Chair, I noticed we have a commission member who's in the public attendees online. Dan Murphy, if you are present online, can you please let us know?
I'm present. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Okay. Public comment. First request for public comment is Mitchell Lockman. So please go up to the podium and make sure you turn that microphone on. There's a button. Could we have 4 minutes on a timer, please?
There. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate all you people because I know you want to help. My objective is for this group to speak up to try to save the Malibu coastline, the burnout area. You are mostly advisory, the most important people here are the city council person, Stacy Park, County Supervisor Horvitz, and the state senator. They're the ones in making the ultimate decisions. You guys have to try to convince them to buy up that land, either eminent domain or buy it up, because it is for sale, and people are buying it up. And if it's bought up on eminent domain, they get a fraction of their price. That land was sold off by the owners through the Marblehead Land Company and real estate agent Bush. Part of the eminent domain from the state taking it over from the Adamson family, private property, one of the reasons was the beauty of the coast. The beauty of the coast for the public. So we're going full circle. And that's what I'm asking. Full circle, get it back to the public. It's gone. And for environmental reason, we have sand flow impeded by the buildings that were constructed with the caissons. Caissons are cement pilings. That stops the sand flow. Not only caissons, but riprap and bulkheads. I think that's the gist of my argument. It's needed for tourism, for the public at large. We're going to have a lot more people in this area because of SB 79, which is high rise, which is going to bring in a lot of people, more people than we have with single residential neighborhoods. They need recreation. They need to get back to work, feel better. And we need that Malibu coast. I know, I think a lot of you are sympathetic, but you're going to have to speak up to convince your three elected representatives to get that land. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mitchell. Before moving on to the next speaker, I'd just like to note that Jacob Berman has joined the meeting with LA City Councilmember Tracy Park. Next public speaker we have in the room is Marcia, if you wish to give a comment now.
See if I can see the the timing at the same time. I guess I can't. Just pretend,
we can.
Pretend that I know what 4 minutes is. Marcia Hanscom with Defend Biana Wetlands. Honorable governing board members, thank you for being here and for serving the public. I would like to talk about the National Park Service. Some of you have heard about the fact that they are doing a study right now, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it. and I hope I have the chance to meet with as many of you as possible between now and May 21st. Ted Lieu, our Congress member from this side of the Bay, and Nanette Barragan and Sydney Kamla-Gordov, who have other parts of the area. They have all asked for an extension on comments. Comments were due last week, but now that has been extended to May 21st. And this is an opportunity for all of us to do what the mayor of Los Angeles 21 years ago said when he was being inaugurated, come dream with me. And you know, I've heard a lot of politicians, but that got to me that day. That was Antonio Villaraigosa when he was first inaugurated as mayor of Los Angeles. And we had just gotten Bill Rosendahl elected, and a lot of us were really hopeful that some things in Los Angeles could change. And so we talked to them about the possibility of asking the National Park Service to come in and do a study of the Los Angeles coast. And that was 21 years ago when we first talked about it. 16 years ago, finally, we had a Congress member who was interested, and Ted Lieu did have an event. Tom was out there with us at the Biona Wetlands, and we all celebrated his putting this bill into Congress. Then it took a little while for all the political stars to line up, and 6 years ago, finally, it was the bill was passed, and 4 years ago, sorry, the bill was passed, and it was 6 years ago, and Joe Biden signed the bill, and so now we finally, the National Park Service backlog has gotten cleared up, so they're now starting this. Well, a lot of people are going, oh no, we can't have a federal agency in here with all the horror that's happening in Washington, D.C. on our public lands, which I understand is a concern. But this is a long-term thing. As you can hear, 21 years ago, this idea started. And we actually went up and met with Joe Edmiston, and at that time, the superintendent of the Park Service in the Santa Monica Mountains, Woody Smeck, and they both told us we weren't looking big enough. So now the bill is to study from Will Rogers State Beach to San Pedro and goes up Biona Creek, including Baldwin Hills. And we really have an opportunity to bring federal resources in. It will happen after Donald Trump is gone, just so you all get that clear. And hopefully we will have a president and a Congress that honors public lands, and the National Park Service Organic Act, which I think is the most important law and the most important agency we have in this country. The National Park Service Organic Act is all about protecting wildlife and cultural resources for future generations, period. Nothing more, no hunting, no drilling for oil, none of the things that some of the other multiple use agencies do. So this is an opportunity for us to have ranger presidents here along our coast who can interpret things. I know that Rory knows really well how important that is in the Santa Monica Mountains. The Golden Gate National Recreation Area, actually the implementing legislation, actually brought in the ferry service to San Francisco. So we could have ferries going from Redondo Beach to Santa Monica and get some cars off the road, besides doing some of the other things that a lot of us would like to see. And
thank you, Marcia.
Okay.
You're out of time.
More later. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Okay, once we have the timer reset, I will move to the folks online. First speaker is Robert. You should be allowed to unmute yourself now. And if any other attendees online wish to speak, please raise your hand. Robert, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you're here today in beautiful Marina Del Rey. My name is Roy. My nickname is Roy, and my full name is Robert Jan van de Hoek. And I'm a scientist, environmental scientist, wildlife biologist, marine biologist, botanist, geographer. and representing the Defend Biona Wetlands and the Biona Wetlands Institute. This is my 25th anniversary of attending SMBRC meetings. I can recall 20 years ago when a person named Chuck Raisbrook drove up from San Diego, because that's where the California Department of Fish and Wildlife headquarters is in San Diego. He drove up and attended the meeting, but you didn't know who he was. So he's number one of four. Currently, you have Aaron Wilson as number four in the sequence of people who've had that job. And Chuck Raisbrook was sitting there as one of your members. And you were starting to discuss funding and bulldozing rare habitat right by where the Friends of Biona Wetlands and behind the inn at Playa del Rey, a sensitive dune habitat with a rare lizard and rare wildflowers. And lo and behold, as you guys were discussing things, you guys and gals, Chuck says, excuse me, he cleared his throat and said, I wonder if you'd like to hear from me. We're the new agency that owns this area that as a new ecological reserve. And so I think you're doing things incorrectly by trying to do recommendations and funding without even consulting with the department. That was 20 years ago, shortly after it became an ecological reserve. Fast forward, now we have Aaron Wilson doing a really good job as a new director, the second woman in that position. And I hope you'll be listening to her and not moving forward with actions like happened in the past. It really bothers me to hear this be referred to as the Santa Monica Bay Estuary Project by the US EPA, and that it's called the Bay Restoration Commission. Because Santa Monica is not a bay, and it's not an estuary for many reasons. In oceanography, any textbook or talk to any oceanographer, marine biologist, and you'll know it's not a bay. We have huge wave action. Bays don't have wave action or surf on beaches. They have calm water, and the water is warm, and ours is cold water in the winter. And we do have two estuaries within this part of the LA coast, and that is the Biona Creek Estuary or Biona River Estuary, and the associated Marina Del Rey, where you meet, is an estuary, believe it or not. The water is not 100% salty in Marina Del Rey. It's brackish. It's diluted by continual freshwater input from all different ways, both natural and cultural waters. And then King Harbor is an estuary too, with diluted water, diluted by freshwater runoff regularly. So I hope you'll like start to consider changing the name and drop out the maybe call yourself the Los Angeles Coast Restoration Commission. And I'd like to spend the last 30 seconds here supplementing what Marcia Hanscom just talked about the National Park Service. And keep in mind, what we know about the mountain lion in the Santa Monica Mountains has nothing to do with the state of California and the Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's all because of two National Park Service biologists who are experts on our mountain lion. And there are so many other reasons. The experts on Native American culture are in the National Park Service and wrote reports, and more from me on the National Park.
Thank you, Roy. I'm sorry you're out of time. Again, one last chance for any folks online to raise your hand and speak under this agenda item. If not, you'll have opportunities under later agenda items. Okay, I see no other requests for public comment. Chair, I recommend moving on to item 2A.
Great, thank you, and thank you for public comment. Next item is the order of the agenda. At this time, there's no changes that are proposed by staff. Does anyone have any suggestions, or we're good? All right. Moving on with that, next item is the report of the chair. Just want to share a bit about our executive committee meeting, which happened on March 26. At that meeting, we established the agenda for today's governing board meeting. We discussed the 2027 work plan, the draft work plan that is currently an item for consideration of this board. We'll go through later in the agenda. We also discuss information items that could be of interest to the board. So today we'll hopefully get to hear the post-fire monitoring work. from state board staff. And then we also discussed a bit of staff outreach and engagement updates, including tribal updates, and that was it. Any questions? If not, we can move on to the next item of our agenda, which is report from the Technical Advisory Committee.
Hi, Chair. The Technical Advisory Committee has not met since the last meeting, so we have nothing to report on. However, there will likely be another State of the Bay chapter being released in the coming months. So that's the only update there. I recommend moving on to 2D.
And just, they will be meeting soon, right?
There is a meeting tentatively set for May 19th.
Perfect. Thank you. Moving on to the next item is the report from the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission Administrative Director, which is Luke, and the National Estuary Program Director, Tom.
Thank you, Chair. I will keep my remarks brief to help make up for some time. So commission staff worked with the Bay Foundation on some major deliverables for the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program. So we've been working on the fiscal year 2027 work plan, which needs to be submitted to the US EPA by June 1st. So that will, of course, come up later in the agenda. Staff have also been working with the Bay Foundation to compile the 2026 semi-annual report, which is due to the EPA in just a few weeks. So we appreciate everyone who provided us with updates for that report. And if folks still have some updates that they did not provide, those are program updates since October 2025 till now. If you wish to share those updates, please reach out to commission staff and let us know what you'd like to share. Commission staff, as I mentioned, continue to work with our Prop 50 grantees on developing State of the Bay chapters. More specifically, Dr. Dan Pondella, our TAC chair, will be compiling the next State of the Bay report on rocky reef habitats, so we look forward to having that at a future governing board meeting. Commission staff plan on reaching out to members soon to discuss potential resolution affirming the commission's commitments to uplifting disadvantaged communities and addressing climate change. And then finally, commission staff is working on interviewing applicants for its vacancy for an environmental scientist. And sorry, I forgot to mention earlier, I forgot to introduce Grace, who's also here with the Water Boards, a Sea Grant Fellow with Water Boards, who's helping me today. But that concludes my remarks. I can hand it over to Tom now.
Thank you, Luke. Again, Tom Ford, Director of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program. Happy Earth Month. I hope everybody's enjoying it. I know it's a busy time for many of us, as folks are very interested in springtime and getting out of doors and celebrating the natural beauty of our landscape and the benefits of many of the labors that happen around this table. Really, what I would like to focus on, I think, has been an expansion of our work in establishing native habitat along our coastline, specifically getting up towards 15% or so of Santa Monica State Beach moving into a degree of habitat conservation, which will be completed by the end of this year. So that will be using native plants to establish sand dunes. The wildlife are already attracted to some of the areas that have been established, but it's growing quite considerably. For the Bay Foundation's involvement in this, specifically with the City of Santa Monica and a lot of other supporters, realize we're starting to take up a fair amount of the public trust out there and wanted to make sure that we were doing our best to make sure that people understood what was happening. So it's the first time as an ecologist that I've been involved in marketing campaigns and communication strategies and outreach, so you can still learn things in your late 50s, people. And watching folks come to accept that flowers and plants and birds and butterflies belong here along our coast, and that you're stealing a quote from one of the public participants in our outreach meetings, that we're going to protect ourselves with a ribbon of life along our coastline. If you've got some time, we are leading tours of these dune areas on Wednesdays and Saturdays, 10, 11, and 12 morning and at noon. We have multiple volunteer events happening on the weekends. None of this is possible without the hundreds, if not thousands, of folks that have shown up and contributed to the restoration of dunes up and down the coastline. Can't sit here next to Bertha without thanking LA County Beaches and Harbors for all of their support. I know that Chief Murphy's online. We consult with the lifeguards on all of our moves out there to make sure that protection of the public interests is, you know, job one as well. All of this is on our events page at santamonicabay.org. I have a flyer right here that I'll pass around where we've got some fantastical creatures to help capture people's interests, and we got them smeared on the buses and then playing in the movie theaters and all that. So thank you all for your support of this. Last piece I'll suggest is we've got the mysterious world of the bull kelp forest showing up on Thursday, April 21st. So it's this fantastic artist who caught the algae bug, perhaps, and now has been authoring several books, and Josie's coming into town. We're going to help host her and get a nice panel going. But that's what I really wanted to focus on. Thank you so much.
Any questions for Luke and Tom? So I do look forward. You will be sharing the location of the dunes, where the ones that are offering tours or whatever, how to do that. That'd be helpful. And, you know, I always appreciate pictures and things when you share with us to highlight all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you, Martha. I'll bring some photos for you the next time around. And it's these tours will be leaving from the Annenberg Community Beach House. Where we have the opportunity to show folks the brand new dunes that are being established. Because at first glance, they don't really look like much because we put a bunch of seeds in the sand. Then we got a 2-year-old project. You're like, oh, wow, look, there's green stuff. And then, hey, there's a 10-year-old project there that's showing you, you know, meter and a half tall dunes. And I think it really helps tell the tale of what we're hopefully going to generate. Thank you.
All right. I think there are no questions for Luke or Tom, so we can move on to our next item, which is now reports from members on implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, RCCMP, goals and actions. Any updates? And this is where, you know, we'll encourage you in terms of any outreach, public outreach, tribal outreach, also, you know, talking about workforce development, all these good things that we know you all are doing, and especially this month. I know, I guess I'll share first, we had our Earth Day event at our headquarters this last weekend, and even though we thought we were going to rain out, we got over 1,500 members there. Appreciate Jenny, LA Regional Board had a booth there with us, and it was a really great event. Anyone else have updates to share?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Chair. This is Aaron Ordauer representing Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, LA County. Happy Earth Month to everybody, and hope you also got a chance to enjoy many of the events over the last week for LA Climate Week, where they hosted over 350 events, all volunteer-led across LA County. That was very exciting. I discussed with this group before. 3 years ago, the Board of Supervisors adopted the LA County Water Plan, which is the first sort of shared vision and strategy among LA County's 200 water agencies, coordinated out of LA County Public Works, around shared vision of sustainability and resiliency for our water system, very aligned with a lot of the work we're all doing together. We're now gearing up for the third annual LA County Water Resiliency Summit, held at LA County Public Works headquarters on Monday, May 18th, from 8:30 in the morning to 12:30. I'll share with Luke the details to share with everybody. I know there's going to be some of you already confirmed in the room here that are going to be participating, but we'd love to have all of you join Supervisor Horvath, Director of Public Works, Mark Pastrella, and a lot of water leaders from around the region to bring this work forward. Hope to see you there.
Thank you, Aaron. Anyone else? Yes.
Good morning. Dave Peterson with Las Virgenes Municipal Water District. Just wanted to share that on Friday we had a really important event for our agency. We had the groundbreaking of our pure water project, Las Virgenes Triunfo. Luke was there to help us to celebrate. So we initiated construction. It's a really big project for us, over $400 million. Essentially will get us out of the business of discharging treated wastewater to Malibu Creek and to the Santa Monica Bay and beneficially reuse it, create a new source of drinking water for our part of the county. It's been about 12 years in the making. It is one of the projects identified in the work plan and has been supported by the commission. We really appreciate that. I think way back, gosh, it was probably five or more years ago, we actually received a grant that was through Prop 12, does that sound right? And that helped to support our demonstration project. So appreciate the support of the commission. We're making good progress. Now the hard work begins. We have to actually build this project, and it will be about a 2.5 to 3 year process.
Great. Congratulations, Dave. Bertha?
Yes, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. This weekend, on Sunday, we had a kids' cleanup event at Dockweiler Beach. We had over 100 participants, even though it was very cold and windy right after the rain, so that was a really positive event. We had the kids learning about ocean and pollution, and it was really good. And we had a little booth there for our coastal resilience, and we're having a workshop that's coming up on May the 4th, and I have flyers here, and I have a little registration, and it's open to the public. We're building a coalition of all the beach managers that manage all the sandy beaches from Leo Carrillo to San Pedro, so hoping that we have a lot of participation. I could give you this, Luke, but I have a few flyers here if anybody would like to take a look and register. Please, we need everybody's input. Thank you.
Thank you, Bertha. Anyone else?
Gila Bay has a lot going on for Earth Month. As usual, last night we had a webinar about plastics. We have our Nothing But Sand Beach cleanup on Saturday in Santa Monica. We're expecting about 1,000 folks to show up for that. Sunday we'll have a free event at our aquarium from around 11 to 3, which will also feature a musical artist performing. And then we have another webinar the following week on our Sunflower Sea Star Restoration Program. I think that's most of it, but healthebay.org, see the calendar. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all. So maybe we'll move on to the next item. Now we're going to start on the governing board business. Item 3A is consideration of approval of the February 19 meeting minutes. There's no changes proposed from staff at this time. Does anyone have any revisions, corrections? No. Seeing none, anyone ready to make a motion to approve minutes as presented?
So moved.
Is there a Sabrina. Second? Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, so we have first and second. Can we go ahead and do roll call vote?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I will display my screen and call your names and record your votes as we go. So please give me one moment to share my screen. Great. Could you make it a little bit bigger? Thank you. Okay, Sabrina Ashton.
Yes, thank you.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
E.J. Caldwell.
Yes.
Karen Mogus.
Yes.
Dan Murphy, who's online.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Carrie Nichols.
Yes.
Tina O.
Yes.
Aaron Ordauer.
Yes.
David Peterson.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Greg Rashal.
Yes.
Jasmine Reinhart.
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Yes.
Lauren Salisbury.
Yes.
Rory Skay.
Yes.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I apologize. The votes are not adding up properly. I'll need to address that. However, there were no votes, so the motion passes.
Great. Thank you, Luke. So our next item is 3B, consideration of approval of the fiscal year 2027 work plan. Luke, do you have a presentation for this and can provide an overview?
I'm sorry, Chair, could you repeat that?
Item 3B, consideration of the fiscal year work plan.
Great, thank
you. Your report.
Yes, I have a presentation to share to give everybody an introduction. I'll get that on the screen now. Okay, so folks, this is a big day for the commission, biggest day of the year. Maybe the key task that the governing board has each year. So the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program is required to put together a work plan for the upcoming federal fiscal year. And this work plan specifies the amount of Clean Water Act 320 funding that goes towards certain action plan activities for that fiscal year. And specifically, that is October 2026 to September 2027. So the federal fiscal year starts in October of this year. And the US EPA requires this annual work plan to be reviewed and considered for approval by the governing board before it goes to them on June 1st. And then the US EPA conducts their review and subsequent approval. A few notes on the budget for this work plan. Congress allocates, federal Congress allocates funding for this program. So all the budget numbers contained in the draft plan are estimates. However, each year it's approximately $850,000 in funds. So that is the figure that Tom Ford and the Bay Foundation used as they compiled this budget. The Clean Water Act 320 funds are proposed for work plan activities where the Bay Foundation is a lead. So the work plan does include commission members items that have anticipated activity in the upcoming fiscal year. However, the budget regarding the Clean Water Act 320 funds is for items where the Bay Foundation is lead. If there are projects not contained in this work plan, they are still part of the commission's action plan. So I just want to reassure everybody of that. Now I'd like to give an overview of the drafting of the fiscal year 2027 work plan. So, and just a few notes otherwise. So the draft is typically presented to the governing board in February of each year. However, that did not happen this year. the commission had to put together a updated action plan and consider approval of that in February. So since the work plan is based on that action plan, that action plan really had to get approved first before the work plan could be considered. So that is why we're on a shorter timeline this year. That is why you did not see this work plan back in February. It's because that action plan had to be in place first. And this work plan was presented as it's being presented now. It was presented to the executive committee back in March, so they had time to review and consider it and discuss it as well. There were some outreach efforts and public comment activities for the draft work plan. So there was a written public comment period that went from March 16th to March 27th. The commission staff also reached out to tribes and asked for their input. And typically we do have a public workshop each year to garner public input on the draft work plan. However, this year we didn't have staff capacity, and also we had a workshop on the action plan and a lengthy public comment process on the action plan, which we felt was applicable to this this work plan. So now I'll go through some of the budget item or some of the items slated to receive or proposed to receive some of the Clean Water Act 320 funding. And I have it organized by goal. So these are action plan goals, and then the action that is set to receive funding. And then there are activities associated with each of these actions. So I might ask Tom Ford to provide some additional details, or you can ask him if you need some clarity. So under goal number one, habitat restoration and biodiversity enhancement, there's a little over $196,000 proposed to go towards action 1.1, restore coastal marine habitats. So Tom, if I'm not mistaken, that would include kelp forest restoration, dune restoration, abalone? No, okay, not abalone. Any questions on this before I move on to the next one?
I do have a question, and I think in terms of Tom, this information is presented, I know, high level. There's an attachment in the work plan. In terms of what you provide EPA, is there an expectation that there's more detail, or how does that work?
Pardon, I didn't turn on my mic. We are presenting you with a budget associated with the work plan. It has its estimated costs associated with various activities, as Luke's been outlining. There is more nuanced budget work where we dig into, you know, salaries, personnel, travel, supplies. That information is done during the actual awarding process of the grant.
Okay, so at this point, I mean, we are, as the board is looking at the draft work plan, and we are approving that we've reviewed, and there's the general allocation on the funding for the various activities, and that's what we're approving here.
Yes, what you're looking to consider and approve today is what we know to be ready, where we're interested in expending these funds. And there is an entire breakdown at the bottom of this narrative where there is a budget section that has everything sort of condensed into one place to take a look at. Otherwise, it's also listed in the text of the document associated with those specific actions.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Luke, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. If there are no more questions on this item, I'll move on to the next one. So. Under goal number three, community engagement and education, there are two actions proposed to receive some funding. Again, this is Clean Water Act 320 funding. So action 3.1, public education and engagement, environmental awareness and outreach, estimated to receive
over $83,000. Action 3.2, build tribal engagement, estimated to receive around $9,000. Pause here.
Can I just ask a quick question about section one? Under, I missed this before, under activity 1.1.2, there's a line at the end of the section. You talk about the beaches that you're going to be working at, and then there's a reference to other estimated budget to Panga Beach, $50,000 to $100,000. Do you mind just explaining what that is?
Well, I can speak to it somewhat, and then I think some of that question might be directed to the RCD in this case. But there are other funds that we use to support all of this work, and we are required to match that $850,000 that comes in one-to-one. So you are seeing, you know, activities supported by EPA 320. We would have a number there if we were going to apply 320 funds to support that work. They may be solely supported by other funds that we generate from other federal. No worries, that was a good one. Other federal, state, or private funds. So we're always out there trying to get more money than the $850,000 that is the opportunity for the NEP to keep advancing our work.
So it's a reference to the other ongoing work at Topanga Beach that's part of that big restoration and project that is excellent and we're also very supportive of.
Yes, but I should pass the mic.
That is correct, yes. And if you have any specific questions about budget and how that's broken down, feel free to let me know and I can pass it over to my colleague, Jamie, who's the project manager for that.
Thanks, that's clear.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you everybody. I will keep it moving. So under goal number four, monitoring and method development. There are two actions and associated activities set to receive some funding under this goal. So action 4.1, monitor coastal and marine ecosystems, estimated to receive around $74,000. And the Coastal Research Institute, estimated to receive $111,000. I'll actually ask Tom if he could explain the Coastal Research Institute item.
So the Coastal Research Institute expenses are for staff time. Myself, one of our staffers who supports the work at the Coastal Research Institute, there's administrative costs associated with that as well, which are embodied in all of these line items that you're looking at. And the Coastal Research Institute helps us create capacity to understand what questions we need to be asking of ourselves to better understand what we don't know, to aid us in developing methodologies to better monitor our coastal environments, all in line with supporting the comprehensive monitoring plan. So it interacts more with the TAC business often than it does some of the work that we're often focused in around here. But as we know, we're looking to figure out what's happening with climate change, track improvements as a result of the investments of our efforts. And this is a line item that helps us create capacity to do that.
Question. Is the Coastal Research Institute part of the Santa...
I think I understand your question.
Yes.
There, Dr. Nichols. The Coastal Research Institute is a partnership between the Bay Foundation and Seaver College of Science and Engineering at Loyola Marymount University. So we're looking to use the faculty and the students and the lab space and some of their infrastructure to help us advance the work and to get those students and others inspired and involved in what we do.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Moving on, I'll wait for the display to come back. Sorry. Okay, there we go. So goal number five, technical collaboration and policy support. Under this goal. We have Action 5.1, Technical Exchange to Advance the Goals of the SMBNEP-CCMP, estimated to receive around $10,000. Tom, could you maybe give a few details on some of the items under Action 5.1?
Happy to speak to them, although they are perhaps a little more opportunistic than others. I think this came about through the development of the action plan and the challenges that we've had for many years reporting on all of the robust work that happens around this table. And what I think the determination was in the development of the action plan was that there is something very different about developing information, producing data, analyzing data, and then sharing that. And when it was all lumped in together, I think it became hard to see it because it deserves its own super header. So in this case, it's communications between experts, sharing lessons learned, best practices, in some cases some travel costs to participate in conferences or symposia, as well as our annual technical exchange between the NEP programs, which typically happens in the fall, and that's when all 28 of the programs around the country get together, and we, politely speaking, get our nerd on and, you know, really get into some of the details and share the work that we're accomplishing. So that's what's embodied in this.
Thank you, Tom. And finally, under goal number 6, extreme events and emergency response, action 6.1 and 6.2. So 6.1, develop and align a regional emergency action plan for Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds, estimated to receive over $4,000. And then action 6.2, strengthen community outreach, education, and preparedness for extreme events, estimated to receive a similar amount. And I'll just point out these actions are something that the commission needs to work at and refine in the coming months and years. So this is on our to-do list, and the informational item later on in the agenda does relate to this. So we look forward to learning a little bit more about that effort. But if Tom, you want to add anything here, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just to, I think, continue to provide about the same level of detail here. As you pointed out, Luke, brand new goal for us, very interesting and exciting one, and I'll maybe ping Dan Murphy online if he wishes to speak to this. He's also identified as a lead in this effort. But this is largely associated with costs with staff time. So we're looking to work with the executive committee of the commission, bringing in other folks that we might identify to help us really start to understand how to do exactly what those words should connote. So developing and aligning a regional emergency action plan for Santa Monica Bay and its watershed, and then figuring out how to get information to folks so that they understand the value of the work and those opportunities. And I'll just underscore that for Action 6.2, I think the conversation came around that we know that people plug into our local governmental work and different agencies and different municipalities and et cetera. And if this was your sole point of contact, you don't know to contact the Emergency Management Services for the County of Los Angeles. So I think that's some of an example of what we were trying to generate to make sure that we're able to take people who know of this body and say, hey, you should go over here when you have questions like this. You should go to these places for resources to help you. And that's what I think is enjoined in this work for this coming year.
Tom, if I can jump in. Really quick, some thoughts on that. Having the NGOs as our partners to communicate is going to be extremely vital. You've seen it over the last, 4 to 8 years, the trust in government has really decreased. So having this forum, this group together to do this work, I think is so important. having, you know, my time is obviously covered already by the county, but getting staff on board and being able to meet and come up with these plans and come up with that distribution network of information back out to the public, and connecting the various NGOs with the various government and municipal agencies that are so important to put this work together. So so glad to see it on here, and happy to take a lead role with it.
Thanks, Dan. That was loud and clear here in the room.
Okay, Chair, so we do have a few edits or proposed edits to the draft work plan that came in after the draft work plan was posted online. I recommend reviewing those and seeing if there's a motion to approve those edits or add anything.
Yes, thank you, Luke. And I mean, I really appreciate your review of this work plan. I know it was a lot of work on the Bay Foundation side, and it's 55 pages. I do think moving forward, it'll be helpful for next year, right, that we look at opportunities on making the review process easier. And that I know this time around, our schedule was a bit compressed, right? We would have seen it in February. There would have been more opportunity for review. But, you know, this is important. And as Luke mentioned, this is something that we do every year. And this time we did, I mean, the Bay Foundation basically updated the action plan, streamlined it. And as a result, the work plan, too. And I mean, appreciate it. I know it's a lot of work, but I do think moving forward, we are going to plan on making it as easy as possible for you all to review and give us input. So we appreciate the input that was received. And yes, Luke, we need to review it and consider it. And at this point, this item is up for consideration for approval. So please, Luke, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So I will review these edits, and then I recommend we do public comment and then get a motion. So allow me to share my screen. And while I'm doing this, I'll ask Tom. Oh, sorry, this isn't it. Sorry, everyone. Tom, my understanding is that the Bay Foundation plans on correcting some typos and formatting.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. yes, and I brought some examples just so everybody's alert. When we write it up in Word and then we move it into the software that's used to make sure that it's compliant with, pardon my faulty brain here, when we're looking at me, with accessibility issues, it does some interesting things with some of the symbols and text, and some things get bolded, and now there's weird streams of colons flying across the page, and little boxes that are so joyful to go in and click on every single one of them to eliminate. There's no shortcut we've found. So I appreciate everybody's tolerance of some of that is represented throughout this document, but largely in the top 20 pages or so. So thank you. We'll get that cleaned up with your acceptance of those being typographical and very not substantive. I do have one substantive request, but I can wait on that if you like.
Yeah, if you don't mind me getting through these two, and then we'll
please
come back. Okay, so the first one is under Activity 2.2.2, Support Pure Water Southern California. There's an edit, a proposed edit on page 21 under other estimated budget, and that is to provide clarity on the estimated budget for that project. So it's anticipated to need approximately $9.4 billion for that project. And then our next substantive edit comes under Activity 6.1.1, Develop and Align a Regional Emergency Action Plan for Santa Monica Bay and its Watershed. Under anticipated outputs or deliverables, the proposed edit is conduct outreach to partner agencies / NGOs to develop a contact list. This output and deliverable is listed already in the description, so it's just a matter of pulling it out of that description and putting it as a bullet point here. Those are the edits I had to review. If Tom has some, we could review those now, too.
Thank you again for that, Luke. What page is that, this current one sitting on? 47.
Sorry, I should have done that. It's okay. 47. 21 and 47. And I see a raised hand online. Erica, do you have something to add here?
I have a question. Can you hear me? My sound's coming through. Oh,
yes.
I think I see Tom. Okay, thank you for confirming. Just since we're on the not stated for the funding, I saw that several times. Is that partners didn't provide that funding? Are you looking to fill in those blanks? I just wanted to understand kind of if there was something needed there, because I see the 9.4, was it million or billion, was provided earlier. Are you looking to fill that throughout the document? There were about 20 occurrences. Thanks.
Luke, I'm not sure if you wanted me to respond to that one. Happy to.
Yes, please.
Okay. Erica, that was language that we felt was suitable to note that we had not gotten that information from partners in the time frame that we had in order to populate the document. I don't remember whose other work plan, another NEP, had used that same terminology, and we thought it was a good one to drop in there. I think if there are funds expended, if monies end up being utilized by a partner agency or a partner that wishes to then share that information with us during our report period, we'd be able to include it at that time. But as of now, if I don't have a number, I got to get the plan moving. So not stated is what we placed there. I hope that's
clear. Okay, thank you. Okay. Yep, that's helpful.
And Tom, if you had some edits, we could review those now.
Thank you, Luke. I do have a request, and now I have confused my pages. Here we go. And this is up on page 12. And RCD, get ready. The page 12 was in that first paragraph, the A symbol for the adaptation strategies or actions relates to the next item. So my apologies, it's not page 12, but page 14. And so on page 14, we're looking at activity 1.1.2. Enhanced beach dune habitat. If you go below the description, the lead entities, and you get to the FY27 anticipated outputs or deliverables, roughly in the middle of the page, the final bullet point under there reads, complete 90% design of Topanga Lagoon restoration living dune elements. Totally makes sense that we're looking at beach dunes, enhancing beach dunes, and here it is listed. Our interests from the Bay Foundation from a reporting standpoint.
Sorry, Tom, could you repeat the activity?
Yes, sorry. 1.1.2,
okay.
Enhanced beach dune habitat. And then if you get to the anticipated outputs or deliverables, the final bullet there reads, complete 90% design of Topanga Lagoon restoration living dune elements. What we are proposing at the Bay Foundation is to take that line of the Topanga Lagoon restoration living dune elements and move it under subsequent to on page 18 getting there myself, which is restore coastal lagoons. And in this, there's, you know, the objective is Topanga Lagoon Restoration Project, and there's a lot associated with that project. And I know we've had multiple presentations over the past couple of years between parking lots, visitor centers, moving lifeguard, headquarters, helipads, bridges, you name it. So excited about that project. And what we allowed for in this was the final bullet under anticipated long-term outcomes, which actually falls on the top of page 19, which says restore 10 acres of lagoon and transition zone habitat. So just to keep our reporting lines clear, we'd like to have that dune element here in that transitional zone habitat and pull it out of 1.12 and move it to 1.3.2.
Tom, could you take a look at the screen? Is yeah. that accurate?
So that if the what's indicated in red, Luke, is what we would be removing from 1.1.2 and moving that down to work associated underneath 1.3.2, that would be great.
Is that consistent with the action plan?
It is consistent with the action plan, or at least the intent of it. And what we've been trying to encourage all along is to, because we have so many projects in the past that could have, that have multiple benefits. It was all lumped together. I get it. Dunes are dunes. At the same time, dunes associated with this project and the Topanga Lagoon is where we'd like to nest it and keep it there so that we can maintain the continuity consistent with the action plan and consistent with these work plans. I understand why Jamie, who provided that comment, stuck it where she stuck it. And due to that condensed time frame that you're speaking of, I really didn't have a chance to reach out and discuss this with her in advance.
If I may ask a clarifying question, and I know you've said it like three times. I've been just trying to follow along. So I see where it is originally, and you're recommending it moving it to what section again?
Yep, 1.3.2.
Okay.
Which is restore coastal lagoons. The objective really focuses on the Topanga Lagoon Restoration Project.
Noted. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And that is what we were hoping to have you consider and help us with today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tom. And just a quick check, any other floor edits?
Hi, I've got one more. It's back to the dunes, 1.1.2. If this is helpful and useful to reflect here, as was clarified earlier about the funding from other sources on these projects, for these the dune projects, the county was awarded a $5.1 million Measure A grant to support the three pilot dune projects that at Zuma, Dockweiler, and Redondo. So if that's useful to have reflected here, we could, but if that's not necessary, then it's informational update for everybody.
My take on that, Aaron, and maybe you just have to direct me more specifically, I wouldn't want those resources to not be accounted for in here. So if we wanted to place that under other estimated budget, we would denote LA County Beaches and Harbors and assign that $5.1 million value.
Yes, that's okay. What I'm describing. That's right, Bertha.
And,
right.
Yeah, that's correct. And then noting that it was...
Sorry, Bertha.
And then noting that it was given to us by the Open Space District, that money.
Okay.
Measure A.
Luke, are you keeping up with this?
No, could you please...
okay.
Fair enough.
Let me know what to write exactly.
Yeah.
So I would say, if I can make a suggestion... under other estimated budget, so that's page 15 on the document I'm looking at. Currently it says Topanga Beach, 50,000 to 100,000. Either LA County Beaches and Harbors, or maybe mention the three beaches, and then the budget amount of 5.1 million. Yeah, thank you.
And I just want to add that we also include Measure A is the granting source that provided the 5.1.
Great.
Are you able to see the screen? I could zoom in more.
Yes.
Okay.
That looks accurate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's over, is it a two-year period, three-year period? Does that need to be broken out year by year, or can we just leave it?
I would submit that as the expenditures move in and the reporting that we would be asking for, you'll be able to at that point in time say, yeah, this is how much was spent in the fiscal year. It's a federal fiscal year, not the state. And then, you know, that would clear it up. So right now, we don't know exactly how much is going out the door of that 5.1 in the first year. I think that is the reason why we use estimated, because we know that there's, you know, any number of vagaries.
Is it 2 years, 3 years, over what? Do you have 5 years?
It's 2 years, okay. I believe. Yeah.
So then over 2 years. Sure, Dave?
So I think I realize that the time frame to prepare this was a little bit truncated, but I think the team's done a great job to incorporate the comments and the feedback. We did have a few minor comments, and they were all reflected in the updated version. And I think the work plan reflects carrying forward the good work of the commission from the prior year and then recognizing some of the new opportunities. With that in mind, I would recommend and move that we approve the fiscal year 2027 work plan with the comments that were discussed.
Well, Chair, I think we still have public comment. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Dave. We'll do that in a bit.
Okay, we will now move on to public comment.
Can I ask a question first? I'm sorry. This is Erica Yelinski.
Sure, Erica, go ahead.
My hand is up. Sorry. So this may be a little too specific for this, but I just before the work plan comes to EPA, so under Goal 4, there's a lot of work under that. So just a request to the Bay Foundation that if you have many EPA approved quality assurance project plans already, but if you're going to develop any new ones for those projects, if they, you know, have EPA funding and they don't have it already. Sorry, I'm being very specific, but just to please include, it's a lot of work to develop one, and I just want that recognized in the work plan as an output or deliverable. I see question marks on people's faces, but for monitoring, if you're doing monitoring or measuring using EPA funds, I think it's true for a state board too. You have to develop a quality assurance project plan, also known as a QAP, and it's not an insignificant task. So I just want that work recognized. So if there's any pieces of those work that don't have one already that you highlight, that also helps us with planning. Sorry. Did I make sense? If not, I will send an email separately. I don't need that change made now because I don't know that you have that information right now, but I wanted to flag it as something that may need to be included.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
Eric, I heard you loud and clear,
as did
everybody else. I do know what a QAP is. I know there's a number
you
of
know.
Other folks nodding around the room as well. Yes, if you think that it's appropriate for us to take a look at that, we can do that during your review and consideration of this, and we can report back to this body if we add any QAP developments underneath those various activities under Goal 4.
Okay. Thanks.
If that pleases the chair and the commission.
Yes, that's fine.
Thank you, Erica. Moving on to public comment, if there's anyone in the room or online who wishes to give public comment under this item, please raise your hand. Okay, I see one hand raised online. Could we get a timer set up for 4 minutes, please? Okay, we have one request online. Walter, the floor is yours. You should be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you, commission members. Walter Lamb, representing the Biden Wetlands Land Trust. I want to just explain the purpose of my comments up front. We are creating a record as part of the CEQA process. And so to do that, it's helpful for me to be on record pointing some things out so that we can then show that, you know, there wasn't an issue of you know, anyone just not knowing what, you know, what the issues were. And so I just, let me step through those real quick, and then I'll get back to a little bit of an explanation. So on the Biona wetlands portion of the work plan, there's a couple of things that we've been seeking answers on for quite a while, and we haven't received them. One is why the Bay Foundation ended its role as a collaborating partner and what the impact of that will be on the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission's ability to serve as a collaborating partner on that project. And that relates to another point, which is whether or not SMBRC staff have any plans to comment on the draft revised EIR for the Biona wetlands when it comes out. I would think we were told that it would be in May. The disappearance of any reference to federal approval milestones being eliminated from the plans. So if you look at the last work plan, you'll see reference to those milestones, and in this one you don't. The same thing happened with the action plan. There are no minimum restoration thresholds. In the discussion that just happened, you saw some of the minimums on other things, you know, restore greater than or equal to, you know, 2 acres of kelp forest, eelgrass. I'm paraphrasing there. But on Biona, there is no minimum threshold. We think that's going to be a relevant piece of evidence. No other estimated budget listed. I know when we were talking about the action plan, there was a budget that got mentioned was $400 million. I think that's going to be relevant. And I just want to go back to when, you know, 2 months ago, when you approved the action plan, there was some discussion about getting some more substantive information into that plan relating to the Biona wetlands. And the chair kind of stepped in and said, hey, this plan doesn't commit anyone to anything. And I think I understand why it's more comfortable for you as a body when you feel like you're not committing. But that has hurt, in our view, the Biona wetlands. And that's, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to address. But at this point, you know, we don't see a lot of activity on that. So at this point, we just want to make sure that the record is clear. And I think sometimes, you know, I know it probably feels very casual when you come in and you're voting on this plan, but I think for our purposes, you know, what we see as important is that we have this big body of, you know, elected officials. We've got LA Water Regional Quality Control Board represented. We have, you know, CDFW as a representative. We've got, you know, the county, and for you to all come together and make a formal decision to remove any references to, you know, federal approvals and these other things, that's relevant to us. And I do just want to, I want to make a special reach out to Heal the Bay, really imploring Heal the Bay, you know, listed as a collaborating partner and just decades of involvement. But the silence recently, that's one of the things we see as most harmful to the process. If you've changed your priorities, you know, we think you probably shouldn't be a collaborating partner, but the silence confuses people. I think we need to hear from Heal the Bay, you know, on the viability of this project moving forward. But anyways, thank you very much for your time and have a great rest of your meeting.
Thank you, Walter.
Okay.
I see no more requests for public comment online or in the room.
Great. Thank you, Luke. So with that, I think we did have a motion to approve the draft work plan. Is there a second?
Can we get that motion restated and whether it includes the revisions that Luke displayed on the screen?
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, it does. The motion was to approve the fiscal year 2027 work plan with the comments that were discussed here.
And I'll second.
Great, thank you. All right, Luke, a roll call vote, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'll do roll call vote, and I'm going to do it a little bit slower this time. And it'll be the Votes will be displayed on the screen in a moment here. So let's wait for that. Here we go. And if we could just have it a little bigger, thank you. Okay. Again, this is regarding fiscal year 2027 work plan and the edits that we discussed today. Sabrina Ashton.
Yes, thank you.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
EJ Caldwell.
Yes.
Karen Mogus.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Carrie Nichols.
Yes.
Tina O.
Yes.
Aaron Ordauer.
Yes.
Dave Peterson.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Greg Rishal.
Yes.
Jasmine Reinhart.
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Yes.
Lauren Salisbury.
Yes.
Rory Skay.
Yes.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone. The motion passes with 17 yes votes.
Okay, thank you, Luke. All right, moving on to our next item. We are a little bit behind schedule, but we're making good progress. So this next item is considering approval of a resolution regarding an amendment to the action plan. So this was the action plan that the board approved back in February. We've gotten some input from EPA on some additions that need to be made. And I believe Luke and Tom can share. There was a resolution that was part of the that was included in your agenda that is basically requesting to have the executive committee consider approval in light of the timing and that this action plan, work plan, everything needs to be submitted by June 1st. Timing is of the essence. So, Luke, can you guide us through this item, please?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this one might be a little complicated, so I'll do my best to explain it. And Tom is also going to help provide additional context. So this is regarding Resolution 2601. It's the first resolution that we're considering this year. And this has not been proposed before, so I apologize if this is coming out of the blue. To get into it, we first have to have a brief overview of what happened with the action plan. So the CCMP is a collection of documents that outlines a collaborative approach to restoring Santa Monica Bay. And the action plan is really the main component of that CCMP that describes the long-term actions, roles, metrics, and milestones that the commission members will take. And that action plan was last updated in February 2026. And that action plan, so the Comprehensive Conservation Management Plan consists of multiple documents, and the EPA allows you to kind of wrap multiple documents together. So under the action plan, there were a few different EPA deliverables or required documents that were kind of grouped into that action plan. And this is a slide that I showed back in February explaining that. So this table lists all these various CCMP components or documents, and the ones highlighted in green were the documents incorporated into the action plan. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Five of the documents in this table were grouped into that action plan. And I have one in bold called the adaptation strategy. The adaptation strategy component of the action plan fell short in a few ways. So this is why we have to consider an amendment today. After my presentation, I'll hand it over to Tom, who could provide additional context as to what that adaptation strategy is. In a nutshell, the adaptation strategy component is meant to assess vulnerabilities in Santa Monica Bay regarding extreme weather events, sea level rise, changes in ocean chemistry and temperature, and other impacts. And it identifies existing actions and activities that address vulnerabilities. So the adaptation strategy does not have its own unique actions and activities. Rather, you identify actions and activities in the action plan that address adaptations. And again, Tom will provide additional context on that. So regarding this amendment that is needed, the action plan that was adopted by the governing board back in February is currently under US EPA review. It was approved by the governing board, but the US EPA is still reviewing it, and they have not approved it yet. And that is where this issue came up. So they are requesting an amendment to ensure the adaptation strategy requirement is met. So the amendment to the action plan is needed to address that adaptation strategy. And to complicate matters, it is necessary to have this amendment coincide with the fiscal year 2027 work plan, which you just approved. So the work plan is derived from the action plan, which is why it's so important to have this action plan amendment in place while the work plan is considered by the US EPA. So I'll review all that here and hopefully summarize it better. So the work plan and action plan amendment, in short, need to be submitted to the US EPA by June 1st. And a draft amendment will not be ready until May. So if you notice, our meetings tend to be the third week of every month. So that means the EPA needs these documents before the governing board meets again. So the executive committee is set to meet on May 21st, which provides us with an opportunity to get all the required documentation to US EPA by June 1st. However, in order to do that, the governing board needs to delegate authority to the executive committee in order for them to consider that amendment. I know that was a little complicated, so I could pause here and see if there are any questions on that. But there's a very specific order of operations we need here to get this done. Okay. So what resolution 2601 does is it delegates authority to the executive committee to consider approval of that adaptation strategy amendment to the action plan. And again, this would aid US EPA's review of that work plan and the action plan. So the plan is to have both of these, the work plan and action plan, under review by US EPA by June 1 with all the required documentation. Tom, would you like to maybe provide a few more details about that adaptation strategy so folks understand what it is?
Yeah, I would appreciate that opportunity. Thank you, Luke. And I did give you a few slides.
Yeah, sharing them now.
Okay. All right. That's just a title slide, but illustrative of what we're looking at. That is some of the Enhanced Dunes down in Manhattan Beach, and that is a student using some technology to actually track the geomorphological changes of the beach associated with it and adaptation to sea level rise. So just an example to maybe put it into some context. Next slide, please, Luke. So this is what we've been directed to consider by federal guidance in the matter. And the nice part is that y'all have completed bullet number one already. We have 11 activities within the action plan that were determined to be adaptation actions. And now we have to develop a strategy that has a few components that are required of that in order to identify why we agreed that those were adaptation strategies. So it's identifying whether environmental or recurring extreme weather event stressors are being addressed in the vulnerability assessment. We felt confident that our current vulnerability assessment was still applicable and contemporary. We are lining it up with the TAC to look at that vulnerability assessment and redo it in the coming years. Indicate what vulnerability risks the action addresses. So we have a list, which I'll share with you in a moment, of these recurring extreme weather event stressors, and we are whether or not an action gets impacted by them, a given effort, a given project, or if a project is actually intentionally designed to push back against that stressor. So building dunes on the beaches is to help the beach withstand sea level rise and reduce coastal erosion forcing. Decades from now, we might be looking at why building beach dunes in a place might not make sense because sea level rise is advancing so rapidly or erosion is occurring at an aggressive rate, and the investment to put dunes there, say in 2070, I'm going to put it far enough out that I'll never have to look at it. Maybe something that we have to look at. Let's move to the next slide, please, Luke. So here, warmer summers, warmer winters, warmer waters, increasing drought, increasing storminess, sea level rise, and ocean acidification. So those are our targets to attribute to a given adaptation action. And get to the next slide, please. So there were 11 of the activities that we identified in the CCMP that we feel directly involve or are trying to correct or improve or address those 7 issues. Here's a list of the first 6 of them. And a lot of this would be ocean acidification, sea level rise, warming waters. Next slide, please. These are all about all that tremendous work that's going on to capture stormwater, to recycle water here in the region. And I think that these are applicable to our concerns about increasing drought. So those are, in a nutshell, what we're producing. The way we expect this to roll out is to be an appendix to the action plan. So I think it's what we will be putting in front of the executive committee for May 21st, if this resolution goes through. And it should be a very concise document, which I know everybody here would enjoy, and we'll likely keep it to maybe just a few pages. So it should be very tight. So Luke shared with you the process and where we're at and the why. I wanted to show you the what we're looking at here, and I'll be happy to take any questions if you have them.
Any questions? Luke, can you bring back not the last slide, the second to last slide? I'm interested in seeing the list of activities.
There we go. Is this the one?
Yes, this one. Okay, so you're saying 11 activities you believe get tagged under their adaptation, part of our adaptation strategy. So you propose just an appendix that goes a little bit more into detail for each activity, how that activity addresses. Is that?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly right. So each one of these identified activities would have some more information associated with what it's adapting to or threatened by, or a combination of those, and a few other secondary and tertiary levels of information about that.
Just a note, I am seeing here that this, what we're presenting, says 11, but the document, the table, says 10. That has 1.15. The document doesn't reflect that that little triangle. So just highlighting that for your awareness in case that was missed.
What am I missing? Sorry.
The document that has a symbol delineating the adaptation strategies. Activity 1.15 is not marked on the document. So just I'm assuming there's a draft.
Thank you. Yeah, that is one of the typographical issues that we're getting after. So it makes that giant bolded A, and that one was absent. So your count is correct.
Thank you, sir.
Because of that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I just have a clarifying question. Oh, sorry. Are we voting on delegating authority for the executive committee to approve, or we're voting on these 11 items? We're voting on delegating authority, correct?
Yes, the Bay Foundation does not have the amendment ready for you all to review and consider today. I can pull up the resolution so you can see the language.
Thank you.
Yes, if you could do that, and I know one of my comments on the resolution would be, or somewhere, is that the executive committee can report back to the governing board in terms of what was approved by the June 1st deadline, so that the governing board can see what did the adaptation strategy look like, what did it consider, and so that you all can be familiar. And if for some reason there is additional or something different, I mean, that's something that we can also, I mean, if we need to amend or we need to do, it can always be done. Right.
Thank you. Yes. I was just going to make a motion, and I wasn't sure what the motion I was making was, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, if we can get the document shared.
While that's coming up, I'm trying to respond to these two things. So those 11 activities have already been deliberated by this board and approved back in February. These are some extra steps with that. And Martha, we intend to produce that document well in advance so that it can be shared as part of the public meeting announcement for the executive committee so that it's available for folks' review.
Okay, so I guess my request maybe in terms of that it be, and I know the resolution doesn't say anything about coming back to the governing board. I don't know if it's necessary. I mean, as long as my request is captured, I'm fine with the resolution as is. Any questions, thoughts? Eric?
I would say that it's not really necessary to include that. I think given our typical practice of a chair's presentation at each governing board meeting. You know, you could describe that. Luke could also describe what happened in his report. And then, of course, we can circulate a copy to all of the members in advance of the next governing board meeting. But we could also add it in. It's really up to the body.
Thank you, Eric. So I think Sabrina was ready.
Before we do that, we should open up for any public comment. I'm not sure we have anyone left, but it's an important step.
If there are any folks online or in the room who wish to give public comment under this item, please either raise your hand or step up to the podium. I see no requests.
Okay, Sabrina Ashton, I would make a motion for the resolution as is.
Is there a second?
Rory Skay, I second.
Great, thank you, Sabrina, Rory. Luke, let's do roll call vote, please.
Thank you, Chair. I will pull up the Give me one moment. Okay, for resolution 2601, as is, Sabrina Ashton.
Yes, thank you.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
EJ Caldwell.
Yes.
Karen Mogus.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Carrie Nichols.
Yes.
Tina O.
Yes.
Aaron Ordauer.
Yes.
Dave Peterson.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Greg Rochal.
Yes.
Jasmine Reinhardt.
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Yes.
Lauren Salisbury.
Yes.
Rory Skay.
Yes.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
The motion passes with 17 yes votes.
Great, thank you. So I think we're back almost on schedule. Our next item is part of our additional information items, and it is a presentation on the post-fire monitoring work group. And Luke, is Crystal Taylor from the State Board available now to start her presentation? And
yes,
can do a brief intro.
Crystal is available. So I'll give an introduction. And yeah, thank you, everybody. So that we have no more governing board business items. This is just informational. So the post-fire monitoring work group. This is a I think an important presentation for you all to hear. So the Water Quality Monitoring Council is a state entity tasked with developing recommendations to improve the coordination and integration of water quality and ecosystem monitoring data across departments and agencies. They also strive to increase public accessibility to monitoring data and assessment information. So they serve as an important bridge between agency-collected data and publicly available or digestible data. And last year, the Water Quality Monitoring Council and its partners identified a need for post-fire monitoring framework that would make resources available to agencies who have to respond to future fires across the state. The council is now in the process of forming a work group to identify those key post-fire monitoring resources. So today we have Crystal Taylor representing the Water Quality Monitoring Council to tell us more about the work group. And before I hand it off to Crystal, I'll just add that, as I mentioned already, commission staff feel that this is highly relevant to the development of some of the items under Goal 6 of the Action Plan. Specifically, our action 6.1, develop and align a regional emergency action plan for Santa Monica Bay and its watersheds. So as you're hearing Crystal speak, I want you to draw some parallels between that and action 6.1. So Crystal, if you're ready, feel free to unmute yourself, and you have the floor.
Hi, good morning. Can everybody hear and see me okay? Perfect.
Yes.
So thanks for the introduction, Luke. Again, my name is Crystal Taylor. I am one of two co-chairs for the post-fire work group that supports the Water Quality Monitoring Council. My other co-chair, Alvina Mahinto, couldn't be here this week, but she and I both just wanted to extend our gratitude for your interest in the work that we're doing and for having us as part of your meeting today. And I'm really sorry I couldn't join you in person. I had other meetings and obligations this morning. Otherwise, I would have loved to have been there to see to see you all. So some of you know me through my regular work with the State Water Board's Emergency Management Program, but today I am here on behalf of Post Fire Work Group and the work that we're doing with the council. And, you know, we just wanted to share and invite you, share what we're doing in this space or what we're starting to do in this space and what we're scoping, and invite you to join our efforts where we have shared goals and priorities and overlapping interests. So as we all know really well at this point, you know, California has experienced a really stark increase in these wild and urban interface fires in our forested watersheds in the last 10 to 15 years, but also in these urban conflagrations that we've seen driven by extreme weather and climatic shifts. We saw it just last year in LA. And then there was the Woolsey fire a few years back. So it's just becoming a more common, unfortunately, a more common thing here in California and across the West. And so these fires, as we all know, can pose negative threats to water quality. And so, as Luke mentioned, the Post Fire Work Group was established with the goal to help improve monitoring and assessment of both coastal and inland waters impacted by fire. And some of this work has been happening in, you know, specific spaces by specific groups, but it's not been standardized for use statewide. And so that's what we're trying to do here. And we're aiming to do this by fostering collaboration amongst stakeholders, you know, government agencies, academic institutions, NGOs, tribes, everybody who has an interest in their watersheds and the water quality in those watersheds. We're hoping to have join us and help contribute to these discussions. And we want to put together statewide monitoring guidance and produce sampling, analytical, and QA, QC, or quality control resources, and improve data accessibility. So I actually wanted to just kind of share, I wanted to share my screen with you and let's see here. Did that, oh no, I didn't hit share yet. Okay. Did that work?
Yes.
Perfect. So I thought it might be easier, one, if you're not familiar with how the council's website is laid out, to show you where to find where our work group lives. So from the Water Quality Monitoring Council home, if you go to work groups, you can get, oh, beautiful. I was about to tell you all that it's still under development, but it looks like our IT department got it together just in time for this presentation. So we just updated our website for the Post Fire Work Group this morning. So there is a lot more information on our website about what we're doing in this space. So as you can see, we're doing monitoring and assessment coordination, data and best practices, and then collaboration and partnerships. The first meeting was more of a scoping meeting hosted by the Water Quality Monitoring Council in August. And that's when we started kind of realizing there's a vested interest in having a work group. And the first work group happened on March 11th. And I have a copy of our charter open here. And there's five key goals or scope and objectives that to accomplish. And right now we're focusing on the first two.
Crystal, do you mind zooming in on this document?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Here. Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Perfect. Okay. So one of the first goals is obviously create a statewide network with regional response teams. And what we mean is there are some standing groups like the Feather River Watershed Working Group that I facilitated in the upper part of the state, where there's coordinated multi-agency water quality monitoring happening after fires. So the idea is to take these concepts where we have these smaller targeted groups and create a template or a means for people all across the state to create these response teams so that you can quickly pull people together to help conduct assessments in the watershed. And to make it modular and plug and play depending on where you are in the state, because the needs along the coast are going to be different than the needs in more inland areas. And another goal that we're, the first two are the two that we're starting with right away, is to develop a post-fire water quality monitoring strategy. So we want to know and identify what are those relevant management questions, because monitoring for the sake of monitoring isn't always helpful, and we need to know specifically what questions we're trying to answer with that monitoring. And so part of the goal of this group is, all right, what questions do we want to try to answer, and what are we going to do with that information, or what do we recommend people do with that information? Identifying appropriate study designs for the question and the monitoring requirements, producing simplified quality assurance programs that can be easily understood and implemented by non-regulatory entities. And it should focus on minimum data requirements, the necessary documentation and controlled vocabulary, because what we have found in the past is when you have multiple groups or entities doing monitoring, but they're not using the same quality assurance procedures, it can be hard to actually compare data sets and use data sets together. So we want to make recommendations on a quality assurance program so that there's consistency in how the monitoring is conducted as well. And just general lists of available resources and to help build upon what's already there and bring it out to the state as a whole. And then to develop an interactive data management and visualization portal so that the public, the agency partners, tribes, those communities, they can find the information as well. And it can be displayed in a way that technical and non-technical audiences can understand what's happening. Later on, once we get those two bigger, well, they're all big, but the first two are the more of the more urgent priority, because we know we're likely going to have more fires coming up probably this year. So those two we targeted first. Once we kind of start getting a good rhythm for those and we feel like they're moving in a good direction, we're going to move on to the next ones. To support the implementation of the statewide post-fire water quality monitoring strategy. So once we have this strategy kind of going, it's the ongoing implementation, working with a local agency to test and refine it, coordinate with all of these existing monitoring groups to leverage opportunities to continue working together and use what we've already learned in these spaces and other areas, working with our partners at Fish and Wildlife and other groups to assess habitat recovery in these impacted watersheds and communities. Can we help provide training to these folks who maybe aren't as familiar in this space through the post-fire work group and the subcommittees that we're establishing? And I'll talk about the subcommittees in a second. And then the big one, funding. You know, can we help through the council and through the post-fire work group, can we help identify potential funding sources to help this water quality monitoring happen? Another goal that we have is to advance the science through improving post-fire impact assessments. So again, coordinating with these existing monitoring programs, whether it's SWAMP or another monitoring program, to collect baseline data so that we can better understand the hows behind wildfires and how they impact aquatic pollution. It's easier when we have baseline data. So we also want to develop new capabilities to monitor fire impacts. Like, can we leverage remote sensing and biological indices? And can we develop forecast models that integrate some of these, these relevant parameters for more predictive modeling about what might be happening after the fire? Where we can pre-plan instead of react, that's always going to be better for us in the long run. And so that's what advancing the science for this group means, is where can we develop predictive models? Can we increase our capabilities to monitor those impacts? And can we develop tools to assess those post-fire recovery trajectories? So lastly, the fifth goal is to identify potential management actions that the post-fire work group recommends be prioritized to limit those impacts to water quality and beneficial uses. So are there best management practices that we can recommend to those who are going to be out in these areas working with those doing these recovery and restoration projects? So we are establishing subcommittees. So there's the post-fire work group, which supports the Water Quality Monitoring Council. And then within the work group, to actually work towards these goals, we're establishing subcommittees for each one of these. And again, we're starting with the first two. So Alvina, I think many of you know her through her work at SCORP. She's going to be leading a subcommittee to, she's got this one, develop a post-fire water quality monitoring strategy. And I'll still be participating, but Alvina is going to take lead on this one. And then I am going to be leading the subcommittee to create a statewide network with regional response teams. So what we're looking for right now in the immediate is for people who have an interest in helping us form what this looks like to join us for these subcommittee meetings and help us identify, you know, what your needs are so they can be incorporated and so that this is a holistic genuinely a holistic statewide approach to water quality monitoring and watershed resilience when it comes to these post-fire impacts. And coming back to the website here, our next meetings, so the subcommittees and the post-fire work group, everything that is happening here will report out in these larger Water Quality Monitoring Council meetings. But in the interim, our post-fire work group meeting, the next one is going to be July 14th from 9 to 12. And there's registration links available if you would like to join. And the next one will be, after that, will be November 11th. And we haven't hashed out agendas for that totally yet. But I am fairly certain we will have a guest speaker in July from CSU Chico, Jackson Webster. He's going to be talking to us. He's committed. We just have to set the time to talking to us about his research in the campfire on compost socks and their ability to capture contaminants and stormwater runoff from these burned properties. So that was a research study that was published, I think it was November of 2025 or 2024, November of 2024. And it was a very interesting study that showed that the compost socks that are placed around burned structures immediately after a fire did show stormwater contaminant capture rates. So I thought it was interesting, and I think some of you here might find that interesting. So I encourage you to register and join us in July. And then let me stop sharing so I can see mostly everybody. I encourage you to join and participate in our subcommittees so that we can have the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Council as a voice in these spaces. I remember working with some of you in the LA fires last year. Luke, I know we had touched base a few times on some things. So I think that's all I have. It's still very new. We haven't like gotten too far into the process yet. So if you join now, you'll get to be in coming from the ground up. Are there any questions?
Oh, thank you, Crystal, so much for your presentation and for your leadership and this exciting work that you're doing. We really appreciate that, and we're definitely looking forward to hear more from you in the future. Does anyone have any questions for Crystal at this time? Your thoughts, Aaron? Sure.
Okay. Hi. Thank you, Crystal, for the presentation. This is Aaron Ordauer. I'm representing LA County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath, who represents the coastal areas of LA County that were impacted by the Palisades fire last year. So we want to thank you. Thank many of the people around this table who worked really hard with us to figure out a lot of the post-fire impacts for this, you know, wildland urban fire that was next to the coast, which is, you know, as I understand, pretty unprecedented. And so this is going to be very valuable. The clarifying question that I guess I have two clarifying questions. When we look at a water quality perspective, is this group looking both at freshwater as well as ocean water quality?
Yes, the goal is for both coastal and inland water, so fresh and ocean water.
Excellent. And then second, I know we spent a lot of time looking at the sand and sediment impacts on the beaches. Does the scope of this work also extend to looking at beaches?
In the context of water quality, yes. So where we're talking about sediment quality and the impact of water quality, it includes that, but not necessarily specifically by itself, if that makes sense.
Maybe let me ask that again. So people were very concerned about whether it was safe to, you know, recreate on the beach, in the sand, you know, and, you know, in the shallow waters of the ocean. Will it give guidance on that question of whether the sand is safe after a wildfire, or standards for how we would look at that?
Not currently, the way it's set up. The focus is on water quality.
While there's wiser scientific leaders in this room, and I'm sure Engage that would advise on this, but I would say that certainly was there was a demand for that kind of monitoring and information and public health guidance for the public. So if that can factor into this, it feels like it would be valuable, or figuring out the right kinds of partners to bring into that would bring some added value. And I know, Luke, if you could share the information with us after about this, and want to, if they're not already, hopefully County Public Health, Beaches and Harbors, and others can support this too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Carrie?
Do you want to go?
Crystal, if I could just ask another clarifying question along the lines of what Aaron was asking. You're looking for drinking water quality experts as well, right?
Drinking water is going to be a separate from what we're doing in this space. This is surface water quality and all beneficial uses. Drinking water kind of covers under a completely separate process in the state from our like broader water quality. So having drinking water folks would be helpful in the context of, you know, knowing what their concerns are. But if we're not making recommendations on water that's coming out of the tap, if that makes sense, because the Division of Drinking Water at the State Water Board has their own process for doing that.
Okay, thank you.
And another clarifying question following off of Aaron. This is Carrie Nichols from Heal the Bay. So just my understanding is that this is on the water quality impacts, but not necessarily public health. Is that
yeah, correct? We're keeping it onto water quality.
Yep. And for
that's the scope of the council.
Yep. And for the habitat assessment that you talked about, it seems like that would be a really big undertaking to think about that, especially thinking of a whole watershed and into the coast.
Yeah.
So I guess just a recommendation to perhaps split it up into freshwater and coastal habitats potentially.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, is coming up with a modular framework. So we want to part it out. Like, are we talking about coastal waters? Are we talking about inland waters? Are we talking about coastal aquatic habitats or inland habitats? So that depending on where you are in the state, you're using something specific to your region. Because trying to do something that's going to, if we tried to put together a truly just one size fits all strategy, it wouldn't really work, because it's going to be different depending on where you are. But it would be great if Gila Bay, like if you were able to join and help contribute to some of those, some of these discussions that we'll be having in these committees.
Oh yeah, I was under the impression that we were involved in this.
Oh, good.
So if not, we will be more involved.
I think I remember seeing you all on some of the meetings, but I wasn't sure. So
yes,
just put a plug in. We'd
very
love to
engaged.
Have you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Dave.
Thanks, Martha. Dave Peterson with Las Virgenes. In response to the question about drinking water, there is a separate effort we're working on with the Division of Drinking Water. It's being led by Darren Polhemus. And there's a small group of us that are looking at sort of the water quality monitoring and sampling post-wildfire. And I expect that probably, I think the Division of Drinking Water is anticipating having some new guidance and some new rules about that that will incorporate lessons learned from both the Palisades and the Eaton fire. Crystal, question for you. I'm guessing you're going to say yes, but there's some really great work happening at UCLA through the Luskin Center, and they're having a series of meetings. I think the next one is on May 1st. Have you thought about working with them and perhaps having a session on this topic?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't hear about that. Maybe I can follow up with you separately. I know UCLA is plugged into the work group, but I didn't know about the May 1st sessions.
Yeah, the May 1st, I think, is focused on drinking water, but there's a series of them, and it would seem like having a session on receiving waters would be like a logical extension of the work.
Yeah. The drinking water's got to come from somewhere, right?
Crystal, could you maybe give us an idea of, because you've already been in this process of conducting outreach, trying to get entities on board with the work group. Are there any entities or sectors that you still need assistance with, or maybe you can give us an idea of folks who have already bought in?
Yep. So we've heard from the Karuk tribe. They want to participate in the subcommittees and the larger work group meetings. We do want to do more outreach to the tribes more broadly to make sure that they're represented in these spaces. Tribal cultural knowledge is an important part of these discussions. And then we want to reach out to the counties to make sure that the counties have the opportunity to contribute to this, because we work a lot with the counties in these spaces. And so that's an outreach effort that we're still working on. There's 58 counties, so trying to figure out the best avenue to do that. We do have participation from Cal OES, the Governor's Office of Emergency Services. They were part of our first work group meeting, and they will likely continue to participate in those meetings and the subcommittee to develop these regional response teams, because Cal OES has a watershed team and there's overlap between what we're trying to accomplish. And so far, we haven't had a whole lot of outreach on our subcommittees yet, but it is still so new, and I think people are still digesting. And I think after we have our July meeting, we might have some more interest. But if you have any partners that you think might be interested, please, don't hesitate to share our contact information with them so that we can get them to participate. I know that was kind of a half answer. But is that helpful?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Hi, I just had one additional question. Jacob Berman, representing LA City Councilwoman Tracy Park. In terms of the kind of partnerships you're looking for, especially in the Pacific Palisades, following the Palisades fire, we've seen a lot of different government entities and partnerships that have already existed and have existed in new forms to respond to the unprecedented nature of this disaster. But we have also seen a lot of community-driven organizations and involvement. And so when you're looking at how this working group will be moving forward, do you see it as being a mix of being focused on government entities or public entities or both? What is the target audience for this?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So for the larger work group meetings, we want to, obviously these meetings are open to anybody. But for the subcommittees, where we're kind of getting into the more technical aspects of how we're going to actually implement this work, we're hoping for people who have technical background to help inform these decisions and these strategies that we're developing. But for the larger work group meeting, it's having members of the public there would be great. These community organizations would be great, because these subcommittees are going to be reporting what we're doing in the larger work group meeting. So they'll get to hear what the groups are doing, and they can still provide comment that we can then take back to the subcommittee meetings while we're doing the more technical, how are we going to actually implement these goals work. So we don't want to discourage anybody from participating in those groups, but it's most beneficial for us in the subcommittees if the folks have the technical background and the experience to help us develop those strategies, if that makes sense. But we would love to have the members of the community participate in these larger work group meetings. They happen quarterly.
Perfect. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thank you all for your questions. And thank you, Crystal, very much. And I do think we really need to track what you're doing. And I know if some of you are involved, like Heal the Bay, if you get involved in this group, it would be helpful if you bring back information. And Luke, too, I mean, we need to track this and figure out. She's looking statewide. We are one region, but it'll be great to kind of be better coordinated in our region, but then also maybe learn what other regions are doing. So thank you very much, Crystal, for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So with that, let's see, moving on to our agenda. I know we're almost done now. We've got no closed session today. Next, are there any member comments from governing board members on issues or items that are not on the agenda? No? All right, I know it's almost noon. So with that, if there are no member comments at this time, we can announce our next meeting date. The executive committee will meet on May 21st at the Edward C. Little Water Recycling Facility. Thank you, EJ, for hosting us. And then our next governing board meeting is scheduled for June 18th, and we will be back here at the Del Rey Yacht Club. So with that, unless anyone has any parting thoughts, we can adjourn at 11:49. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.